Welcome to the third episode of Tech Team Bytes. Today we will be talking with Craig Matthews, Managing Director of My Digital Twin and Senior Innovation Consultant at Austria Scientific Park, about how storytelling is shaping the future of business and what are the key ingredients to be successful on your journey. So enjoy your today episode of Tech Team Bytes. We are here with Craig Matthews. Welcome, Craig.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. And I'm glad that we can have this discussion about what you are doing and also to give some tips to our audience. So can you, in the beginning, introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. You can probably tell straight away I'm from the United Kingdom, but I've been living and working in Austria for the last 10 years. And I have a number of hats. So on one hand, I'm a senior innovation consultant working out of one of the oldest high-tech incubators in Austria, and that's working closely with our highly motivated, inspirational entrepreneurs to help them to develop and grow their businesses. But on the other hand, I also am a startup founder of my own. So I go out there, that's my side hustle, because I think it's important if you're in a profession such as building up companies, you should have some direct experience of that. And I think that enables me to ensure that I'm on top of my game when I'm consulting and supporting.
And can you describe clearly the area of consulting, what you do?
Essentially, what we find is that we go out into the world. There's a lot of people and they all have really great ideas. So what I have to do is I have to be able to go out there and identify those good ideas, the ones that are relevant. And then I have to evaluate not only the idea, but the team behind the idea. And then once they get selected, they come in, and my experience is all about how do we identify the narrative, the story of the startup, and importantly, how do we build the infrastructure, all the processes that professionalize their activities so that they have the best chance to become a successful company. So it's basically taking very often what is a research-based project or in some cases, somebody's hobby, and trying to turn that into something that's very professional with the right customer in mind, with the right messaging, and going out there and making a success of it. That's something that I do.
And what are you looking for in the teams? If you are considering an idea and you have people in front of you, what are the maybe points which are important?
Okay. Number one, you have to look at who's in the team. I think that generally, you don't want a homogenous group of people. You want a bit of diversity taking place within your team. And that can be in a number of different ways. But there usually is somebody who is your CTO, the technical person, the person who's actually developing the technology. There's usually somebody who has a really good understanding of finance and money. And there's also somebody who's like super passionate, is great at telling stories, is able to go out there and be a figurehead or represent the business, because that's going to be a really important task. And so when you have this sort of dream team coming together, you're onto something that's good. So we don't always get that, but we can very often help guide that when it comes to companies. I was just talking today with one of our startups, and he was saying, yeah, I was by myself. I came to Science Park Rats. We really talked about the importance of building up that team. And he went out and he found a team. So he's now accompanied by two other people who are really helping him to, let's say, progress at a much faster rate than he would have otherwise. Yes, the team, but also we're looking at the ideas. So is the idea, is it a problem that is big enough that a lot of people, let's say, are affected by the challenge or the problem that you're trying to solve? So is the market basically big enough? Can you scale what you're trying to develop? Is it something that you could build for Austria, but then export it to Germany, maybe the United Kingdom, the United States, anywhere in the world? So the big question there, is it a scalable product or service? And is it focused on something like a future trend? So we often look at the mega trends. It's really important for us. We see which direction the world is moving in. So you see a lot of topics around sustainability, e-mobility, for example. And so we're very often looking at people who are developing technologies that perhaps today there isn't, maybe today the market for it is quite small, but it's growing rapidly because that's the direction of travel.
How to shape the good story for the startup. Startups are coming from different areas. How to develop the right story behind your product?
I think that it's always very individual. So one of the things that I try to do is sit down with the startup and understand what they are trying to achieve. Very often they have a very inspirational vision, something that they are really passionate about and they want to go in that direction. Sometimes that story can be their own internal motivation and why they're actually doing this, why it's important for them. In fact, when you take an entrepreneur with a great story, you put them on stage, they captivate that audience. People love listening to it and they get hooked. But as a good story is something that needs to be, let's say, simple, understandable, it needs to be memorable, and importantly, it should be repeatable. Because if your story is too complicated, if it's too technical, then the biggest problem that you're going to have is that when you tell somebody and then it comes to them sharing that story with somebody else, if they can't memorize it, if it doesn't stick, then you've got a problem.
I'm speaking also to a lot of people from the technical background, and also from my past experience, they really enjoy what they do, what they specialize in. And in many cases, they tell us so many things which we don't even understand. Is this something what they can work with? And would you present all of this analytical data to the client?
The number one thing, whenever you're telling a story, you have to be mindful of who your audience is. So the type of narrative that you create or how technical you want to go is going to depend on who you're speaking to. But I would say that the biggest challenge that a lot of entrepreneurs face, the biggest dilemma, is that they get really passionate about the technology that they're developing and they want to tell you everything about it. And the biggest, and they go, this feature and this feature and this feature, and it's amazing. And it's very difficult for them to just talk about the value that it brings without going into the detail. And I think that just taking a little bit of a step back, getting some perspective on what it is that you're doing, and then approaching it from the lens of your customer, I think that, or the audience who's listening to you, I think that's something that is really important. Mm-hmm.
And can you maybe bring some few points which are important, for instance, for VCs or for people who are considering the idea? What are maybe from technical startups where we have this person who is analytical and is driven by the passion and by profession, what are the key points they need to bring?
So an investor, with the investors that I've spoken to, this depends on what stage the startup is at, what sort of money are they actually trying to raise? So say like a pre-seed, like maybe even pre-market entry, what the investor is looking at is the team and the team qualities. So I think that this is going to be something that you need to make sure that you figured out, that you understand, okay, do you have all the competences within the team? Can you work together? Are you homogenous? Because very often you can even have two great friends who come together and it doesn't work out. Maybe when you have to work and the pressure's on, the relationship is not the same. So you have to make sure that you can work together. So the team is something that's going to be really important. And of course, if you're a little bit later stage, then really they're looking at traction. They're looking at the unit economics. They want to know what is your margin. They're looking at the financial forecasts. They're looking at the market potential. And of course, those are just the sort of the considerations on the startup side. But of course, the investor will also have their own considerations, such as, are there any synergies that I can potentially foresee if I bring this company into my portfolio of other companies? Does the network that we've developed over the years, does it lend itself to supporting that startup if we support it? So there are lots of different factors that VCs have to consider, and startups on their side too.
From the storytelling, how would you find that unique voice? Because every story needs to find some uniqueness. So how to search for that uniqueness within the story?
I think that you have to ask questions. You have to have conversations. You have to really go into, as I mentioned before, the best stories are the ones where you can relate to the person who's telling you the story, where you can see their passion behind it. The narrative itself, there are a number of different ways in which you can structure a story. We're all familiar with the beginning of a story, once upon a time. People automatically prepared for a good story or a story when somebody says that. But I think that for a startup, it's try to help us to understand the problem or the challenge that you're addressing with your product or service. And maybe try to help me see it from a particular perspective. And that storytelling approach is something that can help with that. But stories are, I would say, you need to be mindful of your story because some stories have cultural context. Certain expressions or certain metaphors don't work in one country, but may in another. And so you have to also be just mindful that, okay, are you using the right language? Are you approaching your customer in a way that they can understand you?
If we are talking about the cultures, I have one recommendation for a book. It's called The Culture Map by Erin Meyer. I haven't read it yet, but many of my friends recommended it to me because of the different countries I worked with in the past and to clearly understand the narrative of the culture and how the people listen to and so on. So maybe this is one of the good books to recommend as well. You are also developing your own startup and you are involved as a managing director in a company. So what do you do in your case in this startup? What do you try to develop? Maybe bring your story now to the table.
I can tell you what we do. So we essentially help people to stay healthy. And we do this by translating the genetic information into very personalized health insights that can help our customers to better understand what sort of diet they should be on, what sort of nutrition that they should take, and maybe to consider some lifestyle changes to optimize their health and think about how they can live a longer, healthier life.
Do I understand it correctly that you are working with the DNA tests?
Yes, that's right. We have this sort of company structure where we work with partners, lab partners, and our company is called My Digital Twin. And you can literally go on there, you order a DNA test, the lab will sequence your DNA, and then the data is created and it's interpreted and made available to you via our online platform. So for us, we have a very, let's say, a very lean approach to how we develop our company, and where we need additional support and expertise, we work with external partners.
Mm-hmm. Do you suggest to startups and technical companies which are under the development in early stages to work with external partners or to bring the skill and profession inside the company?
There are benefits and costs to both approaches. Working with external partners can help you to very often reduce your costs in the very beginning. And very often working with an external partner, somebody who has already achieved scale, for example, you can access their services and they can also help you scale. So you wouldn't necessarily go and buy yourself the hardware to host a website on it. You're going to use, Amazon Web Services or something like that, because they're already set up. And so working with that sort of partner is going to be, I think, important for you. If you can bring in expertise into your team, that's great. But of course, that comes at a cost. But it does mean that if you have any sort of concerns about, let's say, intellectual property, at least you can try to develop it and keep that internally within the company. But I generally think that working with partners is something that is actually an important aspect of a company and how it scales.
When we are coming to the new markets, how would you approach opening a new market and maybe networking and opening the new partnerships there?
Entering a new market, I think, is really something that's important. And there are a couple of ways in which you look at this. So number one, you say, okay, we've saturated our domestic market. We need to grow and we need to grow outside. So you then start to go out. And so there's a number of different ways in which you can do this, from your desk. So you do your sort of quantitative analysis. You get all the numbers in. You get the indicators that suggest which markets you should go into. That's the identification of some of the markets. Or you listen to your customers. When I created my first company, this was many years ago. I think I started it around 2004. It was a multi-sided platform. And in this environment, I literally developed my company by listening to my customers and going to where my customers were and providing services where they wanted to go. And this sort of led me to building up a company that really worked with clients that were all over the world, from Mongolia to Azerbaijan to the United States, and right the way across Europe, and providing them with opportunities. Just these were universities which were looking to recruit international students for their study abroad programs. And we worked with partners all over the world. Those partners enabled us to grow and to scale our operations and also provide more of an offering to our customers who are also all over the world. And we were listening to our customers. So they would say, I would go to them and say, hey, listen, we've got a great event. It's going to take place in, say, Austria. Can I encourage you to get there? Obviously, a little bit more finesse, a little bit more understanding of the customer's needs. And they would usually turn around and say, that's very interesting, but I would really love to go to Slovenia, Croatia, Hungary. Can you do something there? Now, I would look at my offering and I'd go, actually, no, but if you give me the to the end of the day, I'll come back with some options. And so then I would come back to them with these three other opportunities in the markets that they wanted to go into. I would get in touch with the partners. I would quickly get some sort of indication as to whether or not I can work with them. And then all of a sudden, my product portfolio has expanded. So it's not just Austria, it's the other three too. And I've got a customer who I wouldn't have otherwise had. So being a little bit dynamic, being prepared to pivot, that was something that was really important. But other than that, one of the things I would actually say is extremely important is that you go and experience the market where you want to enter. Because I think that understanding the mindset of the country that you want to go into, what's important for them in a cultural perspective, I think that this is something that's critical. And I would also say take the opportunity to speak to as many people as you can from all sorts of places. They could be potential partners, but they could be customers. They could be random people on the street. It doesn't matter. I'm not advocating that you go out there and be a crazy person, but going out there and speaking to as many people as you can, this is something that I would always advocate for, especially if you're thinking about growing somewhere.
If we look at the development of the startups, we know that the product is shaping as well with the experience, how they speak to customers and so on. How would you start developing the product and approach it in the way that you try to target as the best customer possible or to develop the best possible product in the beginning? Where would you collect the data and how?
This sort of, I think, goes back to the very interesting question, where did these ideas come from? And very often you have people who have worked in industry, developed some experience, they've identified potential challenges or problems, and then they become entrepreneurial and they go out to try to develop the solution. And it's entrepreneurship when you do it within the company, but sometimes if the company doesn't allow that, you become an entrepreneur and you try to build that solution for people like the company that you're in. So that's coming from like experience, and that's great. The second grouping of people are those who, let's say, working in universities, working on a research topic, they've invented something that is really exceptional. And then they go out into the world and they try to find a problem that their innovation or their technology can solve. And that's a very interesting way of looking at it too. And then the third grouping of people are those who are just so, they've got this burning desire, this huge passion. They want to go out into the world. They want to create solutions. They want to join the roller coaster of creating a company. And they're a force for positivity and hopefully entrepreneurial spirit. In all cases, very often the ideas that you have at the beginning of your entrepreneurial journey, all the assumptions that you have, they need to be adapted. I'm not going to say they're wrong, but they do need to be adapted. Because when you go out there and you start speaking to your potential customer, they help to guide you in terms of how your product should evolve or develop. And that's something that's really important. So being able to go out and have those conversations with potential customers, actively listen. Actively listening is something that I think is very difficult. If you're developing a product, very often you need your customers to tell you in their own words what they love and what they don't love about what it is that you're doing. How would they do it from their perspective? And the key here is for you as an entrepreneur is not to tell them what they should think, and just to be in that active listening mode, making lots of notes. And all of that's going to help you with developing and designing a really great product that your customers are going to love, and let your customers take an active position in that. I think that's something that's really important. Mm.
To be honest, I do as well sometimes struggle with this because I'm kind of person who have a picture in the future. I see it and I want to navigate everything towards that picture. And yeah, it's a difficult part to sometimes bring yourself out of it and just listen to the reference you are getting. I highly agree that this is difficult. And also we are coming back to that technical analytical part where you have a huge expertise. And sometimes maybe we think that it's not possible. Maybe it is possible. So we have to be like water around everything.
Yes, I agree. When we created the first iteration of the My Digital Twin platform, we had a number of assumptions. We said, okay, if we did this, is going to create so much value. Our customers are going to love it. And it's going to be fun and interactive. And the information is going to blow their minds. And we took a lot of information, we put it into a platform. And then we went and tested it with something like 120 pilot customers who used it. And then we created this great, very elaborate questionnaire because we really wanted to understand everything about their experience when it came to using our platform. And this taught us so much. And it taught us that a lot of our early assumptions were just simply wrong. And we thought that we were so into it. We understood everything about it. We understood what the phrasing actually meant, but we found out that our customers, they were not so clear on that. And so we gave it another go and we took that feedback and we went and got, we provided far more context. We changed our visuals. We simplified our messaging. We added more relevant data and information. And this was something that was incredibly useful. And our customers helped us to create the product that we have today. It wasn't us thinking we're geniuses. It was our customers who were bringing the smarts to our product. And we just had to listen to what they wanted.
Again, we have to be really generalistic because different product, different approach. But do you think is our customers open to discuss it in person about how to develop the, especially potential customers? We know how the world is busy nowadays. So how would you also approach and speak to the executives or to target customers?
I think that people do want to collaborate. I think that the big topic of venture clienting is a real relevant topic for today, where startups who very often need to have that feedback from potential customers very often before the product is ready. And I think that in that sort of relationship, the startup actually does extremely well because the startup gets great information and insight from their customer, but the corporate partner in this case really gets to support a company develop a solution to a problem that they're having. Okay. And it doesn't mean that they have to invest in the startup. They should collaborate with that startup. So there is definitely an intrinsic incentive for both parties to partner with each other in the whole product development process. Now, how you reach them, this is always the big question. There are a number of ways in which you do this. Number one, you go to the events. You make sure that you're visible at all the places that they're looking. So whether or not these are trade shows, whether or not these are in publications, whether or not this is in reading materials, whatever it might be. So you make sure that you're present where they're looking. The second thing is that LinkedIn is an extremely powerful tool. I'm not here to be an advocate for LinkedIn, but I think it's extremely useful. And to be able to, number one, find out what companies are out there, what are they doing, number one, who's working for them. And the great thing is that very often they tell you who's in which position within those companies. And you can very often use LinkedIn as a way to help you better understand, okay, who should I be speaking to? Because identifying that person is going to be extremely important. Sometimes the CEO is not the right person to speak to in the first instance. Maybe you need a tech champion, somebody who is very much at the coalface of the problem who's really looking to collaborate because they want somebody to develop a solution for them. And they're going to be the one on the in the board meeting who's going to be your strongest advocate. Maybe you need somebody like that. LinkedIn is a great place to find that. And then, of course, it's about being present at, for example, events, leveraging the network that you have, leveraging the network that other people within your network has ready to help other people achieve their goals, because that's going to help you ultimately to achieve yours. And I think that's a mindset. And I think that when people go out there with that mindset, they're going to see so many more doors open up for them. And they're going to be speaking to those companies that they want to have those conversations with.
If I will start a company and I will call you in 2 months that, Craig, I need your feedback, you would be happy to discuss and openly give a feedback, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do mentorship. I mentor young entrepreneurs all over the world, as well as really anyone who's interested to have a conversation with me. I'm very open. I'm very passionate about the topic of entrepreneurialism. I love listening to what people are trying to achieve. And I'm very happy to give my time and access to my network to those people who I can get behind the story, behind the narrative, behind the individuals. And if I can support in any way, then I'm very open to people approaching me.
And actually, also with my previous guest, we discussed this topic that we as a society have to come back to this approach of helping each other and not just doing the rough cold sales and so on. Because in the end, it's the corporation which is building up the strong economy. We really have to consider also in an upcoming transformation that how to merge our powers and our resources together to bring and build more stronger economy in the end. Because I believe also the corporation in the end is something what really empower the companies if we somehow get rid of the competency. Of course, it's not possible to do it at all, but cooperation, I believe it's a better way how to develop the businesses.
Yeah, and I think on one hand, it's never been easier to identify and to see the person who you need to speak to before you speak to them, right? So the social media or the professional media that we have, it enables you to get in touch with people that you wouldn't otherwise, it wouldn't have been that easy before. But at the same time, there's a huge challenge. Most people these days, I feel we're losing a skill. And the skill is where you pick up the phone and you have a conversation with somebody. And you talk in a way that provides them with, that spikes their curiosity, that's interesting for them, that is inspiring for them. Because we're very much focused on texting or emailing. And very often, I'll tell you another story. I had a startup, they came to me and they're great, building this very interesting tool. It enabled their customers to receive feedback. And it would do a sentiment analysis on the text and put it into a really nice business intelligence tool dashboard. And they were going out then and they was like going, okay, but we found a competitor. We'd really love to know. They don't say anything about how much they cost. And we really want to know where we stand in terms of our pricing. And I said, have you thought about calling them? They go, oh no, can we do that? No, is that something that works? I said, okay, guys, watch. I picked up the phone. I spoke to somebody on the phone. I asked them, what is their pricing structure? They told me. I said, thank you so much. Please feel free to send me further information. I put the phone down. The information that they were looking for, and by the way, I was obviously an advocate for my startup. So for me, that was the way to do it. And I got them the information, the answer, something that they had been thinking about for maybe a good few hours. And it was solved in a few moments. We need to be ready to have those conversations. And I think that we also need to help people to have those conversations where we can.
We will continue with Craig in our next episode, where we'll continue discussion on AI potential and explore how collaboration fuels innovation. Thank you for the listening, and see you in the next episode of Tech Team Bytes.